Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Some preacher said, "Church at home, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of." Well, the truth is, there are so many crazy things going on in churches that the only sane and safe place to learn about God is at home. So that's why we have church at home, so that you can study your Bible, you can prove things out of your Bible, you can test the truth, you can look up the truth, you can know the truth, you can understand the Word of God, you can have the freedom to study, to learn, without some preacher hanging over you, telling you all kinds of lies. And Church at Home is becoming a very good success. Now, we're going through a series about Passover and unleavened bread in the Old Testament. And a lot of people think, well, we ought not have anything to do with the Old Testament because that was just for the Jews. Well, if you would check out 2 Kings 16 and verse 6, guess what you would find there? The very first use of the word Jews. That was in approximately 740 B.C. What we're talking about with the Exodus is 700 years before that. And then going back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're going back another 500 years altogether. Abraham was not a Jew. Adam was not a Jew. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Isaac and Jacob, Moses, Aaron, all were not Jews. As a matter of fact, Moses was a Levite. Aaron was from his father, Levi. Now, what we're studying here is important, because there will be people telling you that if you study the Old Testament, you're studying Judaism. Not true. If you study Judaism, which you can, you study their traditions. And Jesus said that the traditions of the Jews full well rejected the commandments of God. Now, the holy days talk about the commandments of God. So while the Jews still retained the knowledge of the Sabbath concerning the Passover, concerning unleavened bread, and concerning Pentecost, their traditional interpretations are contrary to the teachings of the Bible. So we're not teaching you Judaism. And if you keep the Christian Passover, and if you keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Pentecost, the Christian way of doing it, you are not Judaizing. However, there's one thing that they fail to explain to you, which you can get in the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. And that is, what is the connection between Christianity and Abraham? And how does that connect with the children of Israel? And how can you have both of them rather than one or the other? All right, let's start off here in Galatians 3 and verse 26. Now, this is talking about Christianity. And this is talking about the origin of the covenant that God made with Abraham, the summary of the ending of the explanation of it. But you can get that full summary in the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Now here, verse 26, Galatians 3, "Because you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There is neither Jew, oh-ho, nor Greek, oh-ho. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. That is your spiritual standing before God. Because you see, the Jews today are not the chosen people. True Christians are the chosen people. Not the Christianity of this world, but those who answer the call of God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now notice, verse 29, and if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now what is that? Well, I'll give you a quick summary. Everything to do with the New Testament. And for the children of Israel, everything to do with the Old Testament. But how are you connected to Abraham? You're connected through the Christian Passover. That's why you need the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Very profound book. Now, let's come back where we left off last time in Exodus, the 12th chapter. And let's finish off the little bit we have left with the Passover day, which is the 14th day of the first month according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. Then the very next day becomes a holy day. And the holy day service is entirely different than the Passover day and should never have been combined. Now, the Jews and Judaism have combined it and have left off keeping the 14th. And they will vehemently say that the Passover is the 15th day. But it's not. It may be their Passover, but not God's Passover day. So, at midnight, God passed over the houses of the children of Israel. He executed his judgment against all the gods of Egypt and against the firstborn of the land of Egypt. Then at sunrise, the children of Israel could leave their houses, begin assembling at Ramses. And on their way, they spoiled the Egyptians, and they received articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing from the Egyptians. Now, verse 37 becomes a key. This is a key which ends the Passover day, which becomes important for us to understand. The children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, and Succoth means a place of booths. The men being about 600,000 on foot, apart from the little ones, and also a mixed multitude went up with them, and flocks and herds, very much livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought out of Egypt, for it was not leaven, because they were driven out of Egypt, and they could not stay, neither had they prepared any food for themselves for the journey. We find a very interesting reference in verse 40, which when you get the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, you will see this goes back to Genesis 15. And here's where we get the number 430 years. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, it was even on the very same day of what? Of God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15. All the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed. So you have two nights, the Passover night and the night to be much observed. This begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're going to see there is special meaning for the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread concerning the firstborn. First of all, it begins with the leaving of Egypt at sunset as the 14th day of the first month ended and the 15th day of the first month began. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord. It is the Lord's. Not an invention of any man, not a tradition of the Jews. To be observed by all the children of Israel in their generations. And if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, this also gives spiritually, as we will see in the New Testament. Have we been delivered from Satan and sin? Yes, by the Passover. Are we to walk in the way of Christ, the exodus from sin? Yes. So we keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The night to be much observed is a night of great celebration and joy because that's the night that they began journeying out of the land of Egypt. Now, come over here to chapter 12 and verse 51, which should actually be verse 1 of chapter 13. So we understand about the meaning of the day because, see, God is a God of purpose. God is a God of meaning. God does not do anything without purpose and meaning. There's a purpose to the Passover, as we saw, and we'll see in the New Testament. There's a purpose to the night to be much observed and the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we will see. And there is a purpose to everything that God does. See, and the Sabbath day then becomes the day on which we are to assemble together to learn of the Word of God, to be taught by the elders and ministers of God the Word of God and truth and how to have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. So all of this still applies today. All of this is applicable then in the spiritual meaning, which we will see when we get to the New Testament. But we're going to understand concerning something special in relationship to the firstborn that God commands on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, Exodus 12, verse 51. And it came to pass on the very same day when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify all the firstborn to me. Now the firstborn were spared when God passed over the houses, but they were not sanctified. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the day of the sanctification of the firstborn. Notice what God says. Sanctify all the firstborn to me. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, of man and of beast, it is mine. Now, you need to understand something. You better be very careful how you handle God's property. They belong to him. It's like every Christian belongs to God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that's why those who are teachers are not to lord it over them. We are to teach the Word of God. We are to teach them how to have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 3, when was this day to be? Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the Lord brought you forth from this place by the strength of his hand. There shall be no leavened bread eaten. On this day, you are going out in the month Abib. Let's come down here to verse 12, because this continues the thought of the sanctification of the firstborn. You shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb, every firstborn that comes of any animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Now, think of this today in terms of automobiles. If there was such a thing as a firstborn automobile, which there isn't, but just a comparison, if you didn't dedicate it to God by redeeming it with a special offering, you were to take that thing and have it destroyed. Now, when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, "What does this mean? The day to be much observed to the Lord and the dedication of the firstborn," you shall say to him, "The Lord brought us out of Egypt by the strength of his hand from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both firstborn of man and firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the womb that are males, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem." That is separate from the Passover day. They were spared on the Passover day. They were sanctified on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, that has special meaning for Christians, because we will see later, Christians belong to the church of the firstborn, who will be firstborn at the resurrection. We are all dedicated and sanctified to God by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now let's come back and read a little bit more concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So all of this ties together. It's not that you separate out some. You take what you like, you leave what you don't like. You ridicule what you don't agree with. And you take the tactic of Satan the devil of destroying the messenger because you don't like the message. Well, the question is, do you like the Word of God? The question is, do you love God? The question is, do you want to understand the Bible? That's what you have to ask yourself. All of us do. Now, we will see that in the New Testament, there's important meaning for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and just to give you a little preview, the Apostle Paul, who is claimed by many people to have done away with the Sabbath and holy days, which he did not do. Rather, as we will see, he commanded the Gentile church in Corinth to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That is part of original Christianity. And remember that the Apostle Paul told Timothy that you have known the holy writings from a child, and that they, that is the Old Testament, is able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Now think about that for a minute. There was no New Testament for the apostles to preach from when the New Testament church began. They preached from the Scriptures, being the Old Testament. And the Bereans were counted honorable because they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so or not. Are you willing to do that? See, what we're doing, we're laying a foundation of the physical things that God commanded the children of Israel to do. So when we come to the New Testament, keeping of the holy days, the Passover and holy days of God, that we will be able to understand it even more. Now come back here to verse 6, Exodus 13. "You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. And in the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord." Now we're going to see in the next segment, what was it that took place on that seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? See, because what you're going to learn as you follow through on these studies from the Bible is that God uses his Sabbath and his holy days especially his holy days, to fulfill the unfolding of his plan. Now continuing. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. There shall no leavened bread be seen with you, nor shall there be leaven seen with you in all your borders. Now, leaven is leavening products. So during the days of unleavened bread, they put out everything leavened. Leavened bread, leavening agents, and they made and ate unleavened bread. Now we will also see that Paul showed that those in Corinth were putting the leaven out of their houses. Now verse 8, "And you shall tell your son in that day, this is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out from Egypt." And they came out on the 15th day of the first month. Now the night of the 15th of the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there is a full moon. So as the sun is going down in the west, the moon is rising in the east. Now, in addition to that, we are told that there was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and I'm sure the cloud covered the people to protect them from the heat. And whenever the cloud moved forward or the fire was lifted and moved forward, they packed up and went. Now, let's see what happened. Because something took place that will lead us to what occurred on the seventh day or the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let's read it here. Verse 17, Exodus 13. "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, though it was near. For God said, lest the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people toward the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up armed out of the land of Egypt." Then it said that they took the bones of Joseph, promised to bury them. Now, lest some of your friends think you're Judaizing, you need this book. Judaism, a revelation of Moses or a religion of men. You will be astounded when you read this. You have never been taught the truth concerning Judaism. And you have never understood that Jesus was never a practicer of Judaism. That will come as a shock. You have been so overlayered with so many myths and lies and assumptions and deceits coming from the place, the church, which should teach the truth. But all these traditions of men and lies. Now, there are a lot of people who are so deceived, they think their lies are true, and are so deceived, they think that if anyone would dare to believe the Bible and keep what God says, that surely if you believe in the Old Testament, you're Judaizing. Not so. So therefore, you're caught between many forces. The forces of secular society, the forces of the Christian religions of this world, the forces of Judaism, the forces of atheism. So Church at Home is dedicated to the truth on how you come out from underneath all of that. And this is why you need the other book. All of these will send to you without cost. Lord, what should I do? Are you serious about finding God? This book is the first step. Where do you begin to strip back layer after layer after layer of the deceit? This is why, Church at Home. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. We have hundreds of sermons, and you can download sermons, transcripts, articles, and that will bring you the truth. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.